Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to another episode, The Fauzi Cave of Horrors. I'm your host, Fauzi.
And I'm John.
Today, we're going to carry on with part two of My Ex Lives in a Haunted Mansion. I'm really excited to hear the rest of that story. Let's just dive right in.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to it. I believe that today we'll be able to conclude the full story of what happened. And before we start, and before I really get into it, I just to give you guys a little bit of a recap from the last time we left off. I had just found out that the plot of land where the original house was, where my ex and her family lived, had burned to the ground due to mysterious circumstances. And after that, they managed to survive. Her little sister, some type of apparition or spirit, woke her up in the middle of the night, and they survived. And this mansion was built on top, but somehow it seems that the same dark forces that were there before were still haunting the premises. So at that point in time, my ex and I decided that together we were going to get to the bottom of this and find out more about what was going on in this house. You know, we knew a couple of different things of what was happening. You know, we know that there is the spirit of a little girl who is supposed to be a good spirit because she was the one that woke up my ex's sister 10 years prior and warned her that the house was on fire and saved everyone, or else, you know, who knows what would have happened if she wasn't there. But we also know that there is a malevolent spirit in the basement, and this is the same place.
This freaks me out, man.
This is the same place where I had not you again, the voice talk to me.
Yeah,
that's the same place where voices were heard that were imitating the voice of other people, even though those people were not in the house. But we also know that there was also some weird activity on the second floor, which is where a mysterious something opened the blinds to the window when I had first arrived to the house. And
it's really weird, like a little girl's ghost helps you out, helps the family out, another one's trying to destroy the whole thing.
Yeah.
Scares you out of the house. It's, I don't know, it's still all a mystery.
And the thing is, up until this point, we knew about two spirits, but we kind of had the feeling that there might be more. And we're going to find out tonight what exactly the makeup of this spiritual realm is in this house. So at this point, my ex was really trying to figure out what she was trying to do. So she was trying to figure out who she was going to see. She had considered at first going to a place called, I believe it was called Lilyville or something. It was like it's a spiritual city in upstate New York, even further up north than where she lives. I think this is somewhere 4 or 5 hours.
What was the point? What were you like?
Because this place called Lilyville or Lilydale, I think it's called Lilydale.
Mm.
It's a city with psychics.
Like you guys decided to try the psychic thing. She did, at least. Like, she wanted.
Yeah, she wanted to try it out. And this town has a giant community of psychics.
That's like creepy.
Yeah, like, but they're beautiful. All mediums.
Wow. Okay.
So we were like, okay, we could try to do that, but then due to certain circumstances, we ended up not going. But nonetheless, what happened is, since we couldn't see a psychic right away, we started doing a little bit of research into the actual neighborhood and a little bit of like the actual place. So it started off with looking at information in the newspapers and stuff, and at first we really couldn't find anything. We couldn't find any type of information about hauntings or anything. Like, she asked her parents, and her parents weren't really from there. Her mother was from like an hour away. Her father was also from New York City. So there was no way that she could get anything from her family in terms of that area specifically. But then, as you might have remembered from the first episode, when you're driving around these neighborhoods, you see all these like old churches and all these old things. And I was really curious as to all of this stuff. So I was like, you know, if we're looking for answers to why this place is haunted, and I mean, I'm telling you, like right down the street, there's like abandoned houses and there's abandoned churches. Why don't we check that out? So it gets a little creepy because we start going to these places.
Oh, please tell me, check those places out.
Of course. Oh, beautiful. But it's, you know, to be honest with you, it's not really, it's not creepy because of spirits. I'll say that. We went to all these weird rundown places, and there's a lot of them in this part of this place.
Just the atmosphere, it gives you this like feeling. It's this vibe.
It's yeah. I mean, imagine. I don't know, for the watchers out there who may have seen something like True Detective. You are sort of like, imagine you are in the countryside, you know, because like, again, this is upstate New York. It's the countryside. There's nothing. And then you're driving past an old, broken down, abandoned church, and there's nothing for like, you know, for like a mile. So we would go in the middle of the day, because at night it was just a little too creepy. And we looked around for things, couldn't really find anything that gave us anything at all. But, and we started going to different areas, trying to look for stuff. Couldn't really find too much, but we noticed that the more we went there, the more the cops would sort of come and say, hey, like, they would come over and say, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah, you drew attention.
You drew attention. And the cops somehow did not want us there.
Obviously.
So it was like, okay. I mean, what do you, I mean, I understand that there's like loitering, like they don't want people being there or trespassing, but there were no gates or anything. It was just an open, abandoned old house, and people apparently didn't like it. So at that point, we were like, okay, let's not get in trouble with the police. But obviously, there's a lot of abandoned, creepy stuff around, and the cops don't want us here. At least that is somehow interesting to some degree. So we started doing maybe a little bit of researching into the area. Now, from the her house, the closest city is about 30 minutes away. And the city is called New Paltz. There's a big university there. It's kind of a university town. And there's really nothing too interesting about the city. However, there is an old part of the city. You have the new part, which has bars and the university and all these college kids that are just there. But then you have the other side, which is like this small little village.
The with, good stuff.
With all these old
oh, yeah.
houses, and it has an old church, and it's called the Dutch side, because all this like history of upstate New York and the history of New York in general has everything to do with the Netherlands, with the Dutch. The Dutch were the original people that settled New York, which is why it's called New York. It used to be New Amsterdam, you know, back in the day.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it used to be called New Amsterdam. So the Dutch have a lot of history, particularly here. And we started sort of looking around. And at this point, we're like thinking to ourselves, like, I wonder if we're getting too far into this search, or if we're getting a little bit too big, because we're just trying to find out why her mansion is haunted. But at the same time, as we're looking at all this history with like this Dutch quarter section that's like preserved, we also see that, and then we're driving around and we're seeing all these abandoned cemeteries that people know about. Like, young people like to go there at night just to look and stuff and maybe get down with some mischief or something. But we know there's a lot of cemeteries that are unmarked, places that are not known. And the more we research, we find out that those are old either cemeteries for slaves or cemeteries for Native Americans.
Wow.
So we kind of put two and two together, and we were like, okay, well, obviously, you know, the Dutch came and they probably killed lots and lots of Native Americans, and there's still the vestiges that are still there. There's still the history of that, and you can really kind of feel it. And I mean, I am one to believe that even though things happen and it's been hundreds of years, I think that history has a way of haunting our present. And you can't really run away from it too much. You know, you think that you can run away from the past, but can you? And even if you say, well, what the heck does, you know, the Dutch and genocide and old, you know, cemeteries of Native American people and slaves, what, that was hundreds of years ago. But you could feel the energy in the air. So the biggest moment of all of this was that as we are investigating and sort of doing a little bit of Wikipedia search into the area of this park. Yeah,
like, did you investigate the house, the prior or the former inhabitants of, like, the area or the house?
We did.
Okay.
So, okay. Obviously not the mansion, because the mansion was created for my ex's family.
Interesting.
So, the new mansion, whatever.
Yeah.
But the old house had previous owners that lived there for 30 years, and apparently nothing was really too crazy about that. They apparently then left and retired and moved to Florida or Georgia or somewhere in the South. So there was very little information early. But we then got a whole bunch of history from the years before, from like really, really old times. And that I'll tell you guys in a little bit. Because that's really the interesting part of this whole story. But right now what happened was, as we're investigating all of this stuff, we now, I don't know if it's the way we feel inside, but it's kind of like ghost hunters, or we're trying to get to the mystery of maybe the neighborhood and everything that's happening. But there was one night where we drove to the Starbucks where my ex's sister used to work. And she had to work a late shift, so she got out at like either 11 or 11:30. It was late in the night, and this is also upstate New York. It's really dark in the night. There's no lights, just big winding roads. So I remember that I'm driving the car. We get to the place. We pick up Bree, and we start driving back to her house to drop her off.
She lived separately. She lived like
in lived together.
Same house, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think she had her license at the time or something. But anyways,
okay, yeah.
So picked her up, and then we're driving, and like I was explaining before, all these little villages, all these tiny towns are all next to each other, and you could get through a town in 5 minutes, you know. We're driving through the darkness, and we get to a red light, everything stops, everyone's on their phone. It's funny because at that moment, I believe that my ex was actually looking up something that had to do with the street or something. She typed in the street where she lived on to find out some information. And as she was looking that information up, we crossed the street in the car, like we crossed the red light once it's green. And in the darkness, as we're doing, like we're driving like 15 miles per hour, like it's, you know, like there's no cars around, it's night, nothing's happening. We see, I would say, a red orb, roughly the size of an eyeball, or maybe a little bigger.
It was clear.
No, it was totally, it was red and it was glowing, and it floated. It just like floated across the windshield very slowly. Like it was not moving fast at all. It was going at a slow pace, and I'm driving the car. And I see, it almost looked like the thing from The Legend of Zelda, like the little Navi or whatever. And it would just kind of floated along. And I was just like, oh, okay. Kind of saw it and I was like,
you were trying to process that. what kind of...
Yeah, I'm driving the car and I'm thinking like, That is not, that's, that thing is the size of an, it was even, it was actually a little bigger than an eyeball. It might have been the size of, you know, like a pool ball, like a billiard ball.
Was it like really far away?
Or no, it was like floating very close to the windshield.
Oh, it was
very
like,
close.
So you couldn't explain this.
No,
it was like a flying light.
It was an orb. It was completely beautifully round. It definitely wasn't like malformed. It was perfectly round, red, glowing, passed very That's close really past weird. The windshield. I see it, and then I'm like, I could just feel a chill. Like, what is that? And then I'm quiet for about 5 seconds, and then I'm like, am I the only one who just saw that? And everyone, because I'm not looking at them, they're like, no, we just saw that too. We all saw it. We all knew that that was really weird. And
at least, you know, you're not imagining things.
No. Everybody agreed that they saw it. We get back to the place and we're all like, what the fuck was that? We're already kind of shaken with the whole situation. So at that point, Bree went upstairs, you know, and then my ex and I, we went to the basement. So we're in the basement and we're like, that was weird. And she's like, yeah, that was. And then she decides that she wants to like type in the history of the town where we saw the orb. So she's like, that was like, let me look it up. So she looks up the name of the town and it's like a little place somewhere, you know, it's like about two towns away from hers. So she finds an article and the first thing that comes up is about this fire that occurred in the 1960s or 70s. And it's like, you know, it's kind of chilling because I'll never forget that I was sitting next to her and I'll never forget how she just typed in the name of the city. And
the start coming up.
The moment that she typed it in and she sees, you know, it was like 13, 14 people killed in a fire.
Wow. And it was like, it wasn't that far.
It was close to where she lived, but it was like, it comes up the moment it came on, the lights in the basement go off.
No.
The lights in the basement went off. I swear.
Oh,
the TV
God,
was on.
So unexplainable. Like that's
the TV was on, but the lights in the basement turned off. And that was like, I mean, I got cold and she got cold and we're like, what the, you know? And it was, it's like, I remember she just threw her phone and she was like, took her phone, dropped it and was like, okay, let's just like watch, let's just go on YouTube and find something fun to watch because that was terrifying. And something was just off about it, of course. And, you know, it's not, I mean, we probably chose the worst spot in the house to look at this because
that's what I'm saying. Why you guys left to hang out in a basement?
It was the only place because
you were allowed to, like, you know, have the space,
right,
time for yourselves.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's the place, it doesn't, we, you know, you don't make a lot of, you can make all the noise you want. Yeah. Nobody hears it. Yeah, and stuff. And they have a nice, it was a very comfortable with the big sofa, big TV. Mm-hmm. You just have to deal with a weird spirit potentially. But when we saw that, it was like, this is crazy. It was really scary. And I think at that point we were like, let's kind of take a break from this because it's starting to get a little too real. We're starting to find out a lot of between the cemeteries and all the stuff that's around and this horrific tragedy that claimed all these people's lives. And by the way, this city has also a reputation for having a high rate of heroin addiction. So there's a lot of drug addiction
that's
in this.
Sick.
And that goes back to what I'm saying, like this idea that like there's clearly a dark force.
Yeah, there's so much negative and dark energy in that.
To this day, I think it's been years, but all these little towns and this area, and like this little area of upstate New York, has a weird energy that I can never put my finger on. But when you look at like this high, you know, high cases of drug addiction and these tragedies and this history of these, you know, abandoned cemeteries for, you know, Native Americans and all these things, you start to really, you know, you just, there's bad juju, man. Like, you just feel like this really, like there's something not right. And I just, I don't know. And I think later, I'll, you know, what this has to do with the mansion, we'll get to in a little bit. I'll get to in a bit. But it just kind of helps to see the bigger picture. It's not just about the mansion. We're also dealing with just the really malevolent, in my opinion, malevolent region for its history, perhaps, and just a lot of really unfortunate things that were happening. I mean, and around that same time too, there was also a high case of car accidents. Like, lots of people were getting killed
on that road.
Yeah, on the winding roads to her place, there were lots of cars flying off, kids that were drunk just dying, flying into trees. So it's nobody talked about it either.
Wow.
Like, people were like, you know, whatever about it, but there was clearly like a big problem going on. So after all this, the orb, we freak out, the incident in the basement with the lights, we're like, let's just kind of drop it for a little bit and relax. But then I would say a couple of months after, what happened was is that her grandmother moved in with them for a few months. Her grandmother had to move in for some reasons, like, I think this, you know, for her health or something. They moved her into one of the rooms next to the kitchen. And just a little bit of description, you have the kitchen and you had this little room that was used as an office. So they turned the office into the bedroom for the grandmother.
Okay.
And then on the other side, and then from there was the pool area.
Oh, there was a pool?
They had a pool. So,
like, in the backyard, or like, was it in the same?
In the backyard. It was outside.
Yeah.
They had like a little pool area, which we'll get back to later. But the grandmother moved there. She was like in her 80s and stuff. And then one day, you know, it had been a couple of months. We hadn't really talked about it too much. Hadn't heard anything. And then one day I'm like, she says like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. So I was like, okay, shoot. So she was like, so, you know, how my grandma's like staying in the room and stuff. Well, she says that, like, you know, she, you know, nobody wants to believe her and stuff because she's like an older woman. And,
oh, here we go.
But she says that last night she was, you know, she just woke up somewhere around 3:15 or 3:20 in the morning. And the moment she looked up, she saw a little boy standing by the door.
No. And there was no little boys in the house. Like, she had no,
no other there's brothers. No boy there. No, there's my, it's my sister. Ex, her sister,
the mother,
and then the grandmother, the father, and the wife.
Oh no.
And a dog and a cat.
So there's no boy.
There's no boy. There's no boy living in this house.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's old, but not to the point where she can imagine things that goes that far. I don't know.
No, I mean, and the crazy part is the description. So she says, okay, so what was he like? And she said, well, my grandmother said that he was roughly 11 or 12 years old.
She was able to get a description.
She was able. So she says that he wasn't. Like, he was hidden in the veil of darkness a little bit because it was 3 in the morning, but she managed to make out what he looked like. And she said he looked like he was white a little bit. Like, he looked like he was white, roughly around 12 years old. And he was dressed as you would imagine a boy from the early 1900s to be dressed.
Oh, my God.
So she said he was wearing like linen shorts with a little, like a little linen shirt and a straw hat.
She was able to get, so it was like basically,
yeah,
she could have made it up.
She made, yeah, it was like, that's very, and she crazy. Was like saying all these things. Like, I saw this boy and he was dressed like, you know, like a boy. He had like the, He didn't have shoes on or socks. It was just like barefooted, but he was wearing a linen shirt and like little linen straw pants or twill, perhaps, like light.
Yeah.
And then a straw hat. And apparently she stared right at him, and then the boy stood there, and she apparently wasn't too scared. And I don't know if that's just her at her age was just like, I don't know, whatever.
She didn't know what to react.
So she didn't know how to react to this.
It wasn't something that would like seem to scare her off, because a little boy, you know, she's probably shocked or like just.
Yeah. So she was just like, okay. So she looks at the boy. The boy just like vaporizes out. Like he just like turned, like he just kind of like dismantles himself. Like he just kind of evaporates into the air, sort of like just kind of like he fades a and little disappears. Bit and vanishes. But it's kind of like very subtle. Apparently she was like, he was there, and then like slowly yeah. he started dematerializing yeah. and he wasn't there anymore. And everyone, again, I think the parents and I think everybody was like,
you're crazy.
No, actually, because
depending on the recent events, I don't think anyone
would. No, I mean, considering the amount of accounts, everyone's yeah. like, yeah, the basement, yeah, everywhere. It's just like, they're like, yeah, there we go. You know, wow. I mean, so at that point, it's like, oh, man, that's nuts. So finally, that was kind of the big event, because that's the one that leads to my ex saying, okay, you know what? Let's go see a psychic. I want to see a psychic.
So you actually went to see a psychic?
So what happened was, now it's like after a lot of contemplation, she says, let's go. She starts looking. She has a friend from university that was very knowledgeable, because there's a lot of people that are scam artists and stuff like that. And you kind of want to know who you're going to. So her friend, who is kind of like a Reiki teacher and gets involved in that, was like, look, there's a girl I know. She's really knowledgeable. She's been doing it for a long time. And she's really good at like this type of stuff. And she's also a medium. So she also has a little bit of the ability to communicate, but she could also help to sort of sense and see.
That's interesting.
So she's like, okay, cool. Finally, we go. And we go to this place in upstate New York. It wasn't Lilydale. It wasn't the city that I was talking about. We went to a place that was a little closer. So we get there, walk in the door, and she already had made an appointment. So my ex is like, yeah, I'm here for this and this and this. Right off the bat, they're like, okay, cool. We just want you. And by you, they meant me. They were like, we want you. It would be better if you could just step outside and stay outside while we do it, you know? Which was crazy, because when you look at this, you know, because she reacted the moment she saw my ex, she kind of just went, it's you, you're here. There was kind of like a reaction to when she saw my ex.
Some kind of energy she was able to detect. And clearly she didn't want you in a room. She was like,
yeah. Right. I don't need you. Yeah. And also like, I don't want you to like maybe tamper with the environment.
Okay. Yeah.
So she's like, okay, if you could just step outside, you know, just, I know, you know, no offense. I just kind of, something I have to do. But, and you know, me, I'm also kind of skeptical, but at the same time I felt like her reaction seeing my ex was genuine. So I was like, whoa, like she might have, I don't know, did she really feel something when she saw her? Did she get a premonition? Okay, waiting in the car, taking, you know, it took I think probably an hour and 15 minutes.
Whoa, you waited to wait outside, like literally outside in the car?
I had nowhere else to go, so I was like, let me just go to the car and put on the AC and just like listen to music or whatever.
Okay.
But it took a little longer than expected.
Yeah. That's what yeah.
So I finally, she comes out. And my ex was pretty white, but she was looking super white after she got out of there. Like she looked like a ghost, you know, no pun intended.
Ghost kind of white.
Yeah. So she's like, gets in the car. She's really kind of twitchy and nervous and stuff. But it's really interesting, because everything she said was almost like, I don't know, it was really weird.
Oh boy, what happened?
So I'm like, okay, so what happened? She's like, all right, let's turn the car off. Let's go. Let's just, I'm going to explain. She starts to tell me that the psychic immediately says, okay, like you definitely have a lot of, she's like, she immediately sensed something was up. And I guess she sensed there were a lot of beings that were communicating or trying to communicate. So my ex explained sort of her story, the story of the house, the story of everything that occurred. Before my ex could mention anything about the house or anything like that, she says, the psychic says, you have a, there's a, like a lot of spirits that communicate with you regularly, right? She's like, yeah. She's like, and you live in a, your living situation right now makes you uncomfortable. She's like, yeah. So, I don't know how, but I think this lady starts to say, here's the thing. You currently have roughly five or so spirits that are communicating with you.
No way.
So there is her grandfather, number one, who had passed away.
She was able to like figure out who these people are?
Yeah. So she, I mean, and my ex hadn't said a word to her. Hadn't said a word. So she's like, your grandfather speaks to you regularly, but that's something else. But you currently are living in a home with a few spirits. So she says, you live in a home with a little girl.
Oh, God.
And the little girl was severely traumatized when she was living. She was alive about 100 years ago. And her spirit is still there. But she's trying to help you. That spirit is usually good to you. Which again would explain the spirit that woke up my ex's sister the night of the fire.
This is weird. I don't know. Like, I've always been skeptic about this stuff.
Me too. But it just gets like more and more strange. So she says, there's also a little boy. And there's a little boy who was trying to be convinced of doing bad things, but he ended up not doing that. And he also acts as kind of a benevolent force. Now, he's not really that bad. Mm-hmm. And he's also around, he's roughly the age of 13. So it kind of fit perfectly with...
It all line up.
And then she said, now there's two spirits that you need to be careful of. You have a man.
No, who is very, very evil. There's no way.
She says that there's a guy.
Oh, God.
And that he is a middle-aged man who abuses the children and who abuses everyone else. And he is the darkest force in the entire house.
No, no.
So he's sort of saying this. And that's where my ex was like, what the? You know, she starts to get really nervous. And then she says, and there's another one more malevolent force, which is that of a grown woman who was also known for abusing the children. Now, it all makes sense, but it gets nuts. So she says, but you might be asking yourself who these people are. Well, before all these people lived in this house 100 years ago, there was an Indian burial ground that was there before everything. So before your house, before your current house, before anyone's house, when that land, you know, hundreds of years ago, they used to leave skeletons. They used to leave skeletons of Native Americans in that area where you live.
Oh, what a shitty luck this place
has. And she said that she could feel that there were spirits that went back even further who do not live or inhabit that area, that do not inhabit within the realm of my ex, but that there was some force of nature that was already there present, and it was that, and that there were vestiges left over from that. So the people that moved there, the little boy, the little girl, the evil man, and the evil woman, they, when they lived there, they weren't just a regular family. They were actually a cult.
No way.
So she was saying that originally those people were a cult.
So there was like some weird ass rituals, some sacrifices probably. This is going out of control.
Yeah. So it was like there were things that were happening there that were not normal. And she was saying that despite the kids wanting to do good, and she actually said that there were other spirits too, but they weren't really communicating with my ex. They weren't trying to make a connection, but that there had been other spirits that were malevolent and bad. And she started describing how those spirits were involved and how in reality there were some really dark things that were happening with those humans that were together and living in that area, and why they were communicating. And by the way, she also said they're not just communicating with you, they're probably communicating with your family members as well, particularly, you know, the younger ones. So she's like, and then my ex was like, I have a little sister who's, you know, at the time she was a teenager. She's like,
sister, she was targeted probably the most.
Right, so she's like, then your sister is probably a big target, which again would explain the situation with the screeching on the door and the alarm clock that went off. And another story that I didn't even tell you guys last time, I forgot completely, but she also had a very vivid nightmare of being in one of the bathrooms in the house and then seeing blood leaking from the roof of the bathroom in the dream. And something said to her, like, get the fuck out of here or something. So she had already, so the sister had nightmares already.
Being in a house.
Of like the house, of having nightmares of the house communicating with her. So there had already been that connection.
Yeah.
So that was, that explained everything. It explained that there was already, like, again, we have that connection between cemeteries throughout the city, throughout the region, and the fact that this house was built on a cemetery that potentially, you know, still has
that alone
remnants of Native American or indigenous people that had been murdered and put there. And then you have this cult that was there before of these spirits. And it's crazy because I think the most poetic thing about all of this is the fact that at the end of the day, within all those evil spirits that were in that home, it was a spirit of one little girl that saved my ex and her entire family.
That's probably the most craziest part, I would say. Like, you know, this alone means so many different things, you know, even in a spirit world that we don't know nothing about. Man, what a story.
And the thing about it too is the fact that I'm as skeptical as anyone else. And I mean, when she was interested in seeing a psychic, I was like, okay, sure. I mean, I also do not dismiss the idea of, I mean, now I especially don't. I definitely have always been one to think that there were unexplainable things and that there were maybe other dimensions or there were other phenomena that just cannot be explained by human beings. But, you know, when it comes to psychics, I'm always like, okay, sure. But it was so strange seeing my ex in that way because she came out transfixed.
You witnessed something. Yeah, you witnessed this shit in front of you, so.
Yeah, I mean.
It's different, you know. It's not a movie anymore.
Yeah, it was, and to this day, it almost feels insane when I think about it in retrospect. Even telling this story now, it's just like, it's crazy to believe that all this happened and thinking like we have now the answer. And it's almost, it fits too well. And it's nice to have the answer to these things. It helps to maybe, it takes away some of the fear because you know the spirits that you're dealing with now. But at the same time, you realize that maybe a lot of that evil force that was so talked about, it's kind of scary that it's still there. It's still there. And the fact that there was a fire and it burned down an entire house and they built a new one, and the fact that those spirits are still there. Like, even through this fire, they're still there. They're not going anywhere. It puts the cherry on top, really. It says, no matter what material item you create, no matter what you construct, you're always going, like, certain forces of nature, certain things in the universe remain and outlive humans. They outlive
those
cement, they out bricks, no matter what. They're always there.
Dude. Yeah, we don't know shit about this stuff.
And that's sort of what stays with me, is the fact that there are certain forces out there that outlive us all. They outlive everything.
Fascinating, man.
So, I mean, that now, just to kind of put the little conclusion on it all, what happened was, my ex and her family eventually moved from that house. I mean, I'm no longer with that person anymore, but I do know that they no longer live in the mansion. The mansion was then sold.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They left. They don't live in that house anymore.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know who lives in that house now. Funny enough, I actually did a little. I went with some friends up north one day, randomly, years after my ex and I had broken up, and I actually drove past the house. You know, I was like curious, and I went through the neighborhood, and I was like, "Man, I haven't been here in years. I would just want to check it out." And
did you still get that eerie vibe?
That's
feeling?
The thing. I'm driving. You know, it's actually the middle of the day, and you know, I'm just kind of, you know, it's, I'm with a bunch of city people, like they never come up here. So yeah. I'm just kind of telling them this story, and they're all there like looking and seeing it all with their own eyes, seeing the abandoned houses and the abandoned churches, and like, okay, this is strange. You know, and then we drive around the bend and we go to that little grassy area that eventually leads to this big mansion out there in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, that's the spot.
That's the spot. That's
and
the one.
They all look and there's just silence. And I'm like, yeah, this feels kind of weird. And I was like, yep.
Sure does.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Run.
And then we just kept driving. Then like we went to a bar or something, got a few drinks, took some cool pictures, and that's it.
Wow, beautiful. You know? I love it.
I hope you know, and I hope that hopefully these spirits find atonement someday, man. I hope that those two children who helped to perhaps serve as protectors to this to my ex's family, I hope that they find their atonement someday. I hope that the two evil spirits, I hope they find their own. I hope that they, in the afterlife, after all these hundreds of years, find their own peace in some form or something. I don't know. But if there's anything to serve you all as a little lesson, is that, you know, history has a way of staying alive. Just because you think you can't see it, or just because you think it's been a long time, doesn't mean that it's not out there and that it doesn't affect us. So
that was beautiful, man.
History has a way of repeating itself, perhaps, or outliving us all.
Well, I guess this will wrap it up.
Let's leave it there. Yeah, so thank you guys for listening.
We really hope you guys enjoyed this. I did. We did. We're doing this for you.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like crazy because like I still have like, I get weird telling it even now. Like I feel strange and
yeah.
I keep looking over my shoulder even to this day when I say it, but keep checking out more stuff. We're gonna come with you guys with a new story next week.
We're gonna
pass the baton over to Fauzi, who's got a story to tell us all the way from Syria. He's got a story from his grandfather. Yeah,
you have a story. My grandfather's house. It's always about a house.
It's always a house. So we're gonna go across the world from upstate New York to Syria. We've got some cool stuff to tell there. By cool, I mean it's going to probably be terrifying. So stay tuned for that. We're going to keep coming at you with more crazy, creepy stories. And as usual, keep it creepy, y'all. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Sleep tight, kids.
Sleep tight, sweet dreams, and turn on your nightlight. Have a good night.